Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Ladies Leadership Circle in partnership with Phoenix Business Radio, where we are live from the Business Radio X studio in the East Valley and brought to you by the women who lived it. I'm Joanne Holland, your host, along with my co-host, Karen Narwicki. And we're very excited this morning, Karen, to have two amazing, incredible women, Dori Morales, the editor and publisher of Green Living Magazine, and Chef Jennifer Johnson. So welcome, ladies, and we'd love for you to begin. Dori, I'm going to begin with you and then Jennifer on to you, but share a little bit about who's Dori Morales.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, I'm so honored. I'm so thankful and grateful and so excited to be here today to be on the show. And I'm living my passion by creating a great magazine called Green Living Magazine. I'm the mother of two. I have two amazing boys, Carter and Keaton, and I have a great husband and very active in the community and just want to create a culture of people, like-minded people that come out and connect in the community on how to be more conscious.
Wow, that's amazing. I can't wait to talk about that, Green Living Magazine. And Jennifer, please share.
I am also very happy to be here. Thank you guys a lot. I met you guys through Dori, so I am so excited to have met Dori through because we share a similar mission and vision of living eco-conscious green lives. And so I am a chef. I'm an all-organic chef. I own Witnessing Nature and Food. We're a full-service catering company. I have three sons, all grown, 30, 31, and 32 now. And I'm living my passion after corporate America of doing all organic cooking for people and really showing people that you don't have to be on a diet, feel like you're on a diet in order to eat really good, nutritious food. You can have a great life eating good food without feeling like you're losing something. And so that's my passion, is to show people that it can be good and good for you.
And include meat.
Exactly. And include meat. Even well, though Dori doesn't eat meat, I do.
Right,
yes.
Right.
Yes.
I know that there's a lot of green who don't, who are vegans, vegetarians. But, I went to one of Dori's launch events, which we'll talk about in a couple minutes, and loved your food and the meat that was served with it. And I was showing people, see, it's not just about vegetables. It's organic.
Vegetables are great. Yes. Vegetables are great. But you can have meat, too, that tastes fantastic and is well-raised and more nutritious for you.
So, Dori, let's start. Why this magazine? When did it start? And what was the thought process behind it?
So, I've been in the magazine industry for about 25 years in the multifamily apartment business. And my former business partner, some people came to him with an idea. And they said, why don't you start a magazine, a lifestyle magazine in Arizona? And he said, what are you, crazy? There's like 400 of them in Phoenix. And then they said, well, what about a green lifestyle magazine? And we did our due diligence and there was nothing like it on the market. So Green Living was born. And then as we started, I realized what a passion it was for me because I grew up, my dad had a garden and we had an acre garden in New Jersey. And I loved the fall leaves changing. And then also I was blessed to be in a foreign exchange student in France. And I picked the rural area instead of metropolitan. My girlfriend's drinking wine in Bordeaux, having the time of her life. And I am on a farm milking sheep and goats and cows and like just
and looking, having the time of your life.
And having the time of my life. And I saw the birth of a baby cow and it changed my life and my passion. And then I went back to France in college as well and studied art, but just had a whole different appreciation because the Europeans in France, you walk and you have fresh food and
you ride your bike.
You ride your bike and it's a completely different lifestyle. And then my children have a bunch of allergies. So with both of my kids, one has ADHD and the other has OCD. I had to get rid of all the toxins in my home. So it's been a passion to really walk the walk and live the green life.
Wow. That's incredible. And Chef Jennifer, a chef after leaving corporate America.
Well, I was a chef before I left corporate America. So I became a chef almost 24 years ago. My youngest son, when he was in the second grade, he wrote me a Mother's Day card and he he wrote the wonder, you know, the whole page of wonderful things about you. And you focus on the one, the end one that says, but she sucks at cooking. And so, so I wish you would take us out to eat more because your home food is not good.
Oh, no.
And,
how funny is that?
And so I had just finished engineering school. Right. And so I was like, I was hurt. And then I realized, you know, I grew up on a dairy farm. My mom learned to cook from her mom, who really, her mom had passed away when she was young. So her, she learned from herself. And the, neither one of them were very good at cooking. And I helped my mom. And so I learned from her. It wasn't really great. I decided, you know what? He's probably right. And so I went to culinary school to learn how to cook. And we just team build with the kids and stuff was we were, they were growing up. We had big parties and I was always, you know, hosting wine parties and dinner parties. And we just had a ton of fun. And then I would cater as I doing my corporate job. I would cater for my friends and then do parties for my family and so on. And finally, I just said, you know, kids grew up. And I had probably also too, in 1999, I got this huge promotion where I was managing factories around the world. I got the benefit of traveling, learning local culture, local food, and just had a wonderful time with that. However, with that came overeating, eating airplane food, eating in hotels, eating out, eating out, eating out. Mm-hmm. And I gained like 180 pounds. And so I've taken off 140 of that, but
wow.
Through eating, well, I feel a lot better, but through eating organic food, I went back to what was basic because I started thinking about, you know, when we moved off the dairy farm, I moved into the city and we're not drinking milk straight from the cow anymore. And I became lactose intolerant through the pasteurization process. Mm-hmm. And so it really came back to how do I go back to basics and get eat good, organic, nutritious food and see if I can just take the weight off that way and feel healthier. And it worked. And so now I want to show everybody else that they can do that too.
So I guess that brings me to the question of why organic food?
Yes, exactly. That is why, because mm-hmm. I've seen it happen for myself as well as other people that have had health issues. They go back to eating, you know, the most nutritious food without the industrial food process. And they end up solving many of their own internal problems.
Oh, wow.
You both have mentioned travel, and I have several friends who travel quite frequently for work outside of the country. And when they come home, they always say, I got to eat cheese again. I got to drink milk. I mm-hmm. got to have all these, even bread, without having the reactions that they have when they're stateside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And even with wine as well, because really? Of all the sulfates that we yeah. have in the United States compared yeah. to other countries.
Totally you know. True.
Well, I appreciate when we were in Rome that the wine is cheaper than the water because you pay
it's
for water.
It's a true statement, yeah.
Yeah, you pay for water at your table, but it's more expensive than if you just got a glass of wine. So that was good for me. Yeah. that's all that took. I was like, so, Dory, you have a simple solution. What is Simple Solution?
I believe that there's a lot of misnomers about being green. And people, Jennifer had just mentioned this earlier today, that people think that you're Birkenstocks, tree-hugging, crunchy granola person. But really, with being conscious and being green, it's caring about the environment and caring about the way you want your kids raised because we only have one planet Earth. And I like to make it easy for people and give them a simple solution that they can do every day as it's not hard, you know, don't use plastic bags, bring in your recycled bags. Or the other thing is if you look in a restaurant and straws, it's one of my passions because 500 million straws are used per day in the United States.
Wow. And they're not recyclable.
They're not recyclable. They land up in the ocean. They can actually fill up 125 school buses per day. And if you make a simple solution just to give up the straw and you go to a restaurant, hold the straw, it makes a big difference. And there are restaurants that have actually chosen in Tempe to ban the straw.
I think California too, right? I don't know
yes,
about the whole
California
state.
California has,
but
yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
As well as they've banned using styrofoam in any of their packaging too.
Yes. Hooray.
Wow. So simple solution. So tell us, how does somebody become, I will say, green, like even in your home? What are some, you know, suggestions? I know that when I worked for the Hyatt years ago, we were one of the pilot programs for the Hyatt Corporation that we would tell our guests that they didn't have to have their towels changed every day. And if they, you know, we put that we are becoming eco-friendly. And if you put your towel back on the towel rack and leave it hang there, we're not going to change it out. If you leave it on the floor, then we'll change it out for
right,
you.
Right. Which is common now, right? Right. I mean, back in the
Back in the day, this was like, 90s. Yeah. This is like, what do you want us to do?
You don't want us to use a fresh towel every single day.
But you don't at home.
Right. And what we were amazed at, the minute we implemented the program, we had cut our laundry in half.
Oh, sure.
I mean, people were like, okay. You know, again, it was just asking and sharing, like, why were you doing this? You know, well, you're in Arizona. Water is obviously a big, you know, issue. We hope it's not, because we all live here and love it here. But, you know, some of those simple things that you can do at home.
So what I normally do is give people a walkthrough of my home, but I'll give you just a few tidbits and look at your laundry room and make sure that you're using eco-friendly detergent and that it's all made out of natural products. A great simple solution is put vinegar into your washing machine and you don't have to use dryer sheets anymore. And you can actually take aluminum foil and put them in your dryer as well instead of bleach. So you've just gotten rid of the toxins in your laundry room. And then going into my bathroom, I look at all my products and I switch to organic, vegan, natural products and also the packaging. Because a lot of times most cosmetics are made with tons of packaging. Right. And you can actually, when you go to organic and natural products, they're usually based in glass as opposed to plastic and disposable. Mm-hmm. So those are some hair care products and hair care, makeup, and those types of products. I switch my bed to an organic mattress and I use organic cotton sheets because most people don't realize that cotton's one of the dirtiest crops. And we're putting like not organic cotton clothing on our bodies and polyester and all the chemicals in that as well.
This may be an off-the-wall question. Microfiber, that's got to be all chemical, isn't it? Like the microfiber sheets?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Actually, I don't know the answer to that question.
I
think it's got to be.
And the reason I mention it, because you're talking about sheets. We bought some. They look great. But when you rub your hand across it, it sparks. It's the craziest thing.
Oh, wow.
And we haven't used them again.
I use organic, so I hadn't thought about that yet.
I'm not. When it comes to cleaning products, I mean, there's a few things and a few of my beauty care products that I'm careful. But overall, I haven't really made that switch for fear that that it's so expensive. Is that the case or is that just silly?
It's actually less expensive. There's a study that came out that said the more educated we are, the more money we spend on chemical-ridden things to solve our internal cleaning things. Mm-hmm. Because you can use vinegar, as Dory mm-hmm. taught me the dryer sheet one. I was like, oh, score! But... And how you can buy at Costco, you can buy 2 gallons of vinegar for like $5. And you know how many teaspoons of vinegar you can get out of that to do your laundry?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
You can dry your sheets. Your whole house with vinegar and water.
Exactly. Yeah. I use vinegar to wash my stainless steel and then use olive oil to shine it back up. Mm. And those are two simple things that are in your house all the time.
Wow. That's amazing. Just incredible.
In women's skincare products, I think there's 16 toxic ingredients that are found in most cosmetics. And we're putting it on our face every single day.
Washing your hair with it, conditioner, everything. Yeah, you put the toxins on your skin, which is the largest organ, right?
Right.
I bought a lip, I think it's called a lip injector, just because I want a little bit of shine. My lips... were burning and they were swelling. I told my 21-year-old daughter, I'm like, honey, what? I took a picture of it, sent her a text. Why is this burning my lips? She's like, Mom, that's chemicals. I mean, like you're basically putting chemicals on your lips, which then in turn, goes inside me. And I look in the mirror and sure enough, they were plump, but because they were...
they're going to fall off tomorrow, Karen, but that's okay.
Can you believe that? And to your point, Dory, we're putting... awful, awful things on our body and or in our bodies and wondering why we're not healthy.
Right.
wondering why I'm going to a doctor to get a prescription for it.
Right. Which is to your point a second ago when I said, you know, I felt like it's expensive. But so you're saying that if I take better care of myself and my living on the front end, I will be less likely to have either what's the word I'm looking for? Well, issues,
right?
But I mean, health issues or you know, environmental issues.
I think we would. So one of my visions is that I want everybody to live a healthy, happy life, right? Because I think that if you take care of yourself today, then you're going to live being more issue free as we get older. And as we get older is when all those little issues pop up.
I'm familiar.
And the insurance industry is not helping us with how expensive pharmaceuticals and so on are. So if we take care of ourselves now, my opinion is you can live a happy, healthy, more fulfilled life later, because it's either pay me now or pay me later.
Right.
Right.
And if you save money on all those chemicals you have in your house, then you can invest in taking care of it, putting the right foods into your body.
Right. And, speaking of that, you mentioned you're a caterer. So what services do you provide, Jennifer?
So we do full service all the way through planning and helping just take off or offload all of the logistics and so on and food coordination from who's hosting the party and through cleaning up and taking it away. So they can really focus on having a really good time with their guests, whether it be family, whether it be friends or whoever they want to have and whoever they want to have in the room. But
is it all meals? Do you specialize? Is it just breakfast, lunch, and dinner, appetite?
So we do all meals. We do absolutely all meals. We do a lot of lunches, a lot of brunches, a lot of events like weddings and, big hosting events and so on. And we do all eco packaged stuff. So it all comes out and we do compostable. We do everything compostable, recyclable. So again, being good for the environment.
And I believe that you're a green business leader through the city of Phoenix
absolutely.
As well.
Thank you. Yes.
What does that mean?
So if you are in the city of Phoenix, which when I moved my commercial kitchen from Scottsdale to the city of Phoenix, I then qualified to be a green business partner, which means we have to recycle, compost, and report all of our landfill diversion every month. And so last month we did about 93% waste. We calculate it based on weight of stuff with 93% weight landfill diversion.
Wow.
So it means that either the stuff that comes in plastic or stuff that's shipped to you that has the puff packaging or bubble wrap, I take all that back to Sprouts. And actually, Sprouts put up a sign the other day or the beginning of the year that said that they will now take all the outside packaging from toilet paper and paper towels. And so you can return all of that too.
Wow.
So we increase that as well as all of our cardboard, aluminum, glass goes to recycling. And then I compost all of the food waste.
And the city of Phoenix is acknowledging you for that, and you become a green partner then? Is that
exactly?
Mm-hmm.
Green business leader.
Wow, that's incredible.
That's great. And Dory, how do you find out about an eco event happening? I know we're in April, obviously Earth Day is coming up April 22nd, but it's not, what I always used to say, it's not just about Earth Day. It should be every day that everyone celebrates Earth Day and is concerned about our environment and what we put in our bodies and what we do to the outdoors. So how does one find out, besides I know the amazing articles in Green Living magazine, because I'm an avid reader and subscriber. So share a little bit about that.
Well, thank you, Joanne, for being a reader and a subscriber of Green Living Magazine. You can definitely find out about our events in the magazine, but also on our digital magazine and then through any social media platform, Facebook, and then our website, which is greenlivingaz.com. We used to call our eco events launch parties. We rebranded and renamed them this year because we wanted to open them up to a broader audience. So they're the first Wednesday of every month. And we'll be having one coming up in March, and then our one in April is actually in partnership with Enterprise Bank, and we're going to do it about spring cleaning and recycling. So everything will be about repurposing and bring your anything you want to shred to the event, bring your electronics, whatever you want to do, but really about cleaning.
What about the light bulbs?
That's awesome.
We didn't have the light bulbs at the event, but that's a good idea.
Okay. Yeah.
For sure. LEDs.
Yes.
All the way.
But just getting rid of, mm-hmm. Because you can't just throw them. People don't realize that. Which is a big point right now. Yeah. You can't just throw them away.
I did not know that either.
Yeah. You have to recycle them.
As I'm imagining taking three light bulbs just yesterday.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah. And it's so funny because in our house, we're very we're trying to become more educated. And it's so funny, I leave this out. The magazine stays out on the table now.
as a reminder,
as a reminder, just to, hey, remember, we can't throw that away. Hey, is this right? And I can share just with my weight loss in the last year, it really is because I'm eating more organic than processed. And you actually feel better.
You do.
You have more energy. You feel just ready to go. And it's not even eating a lot. It's about just eating. And it's all good. I mean, I haven't really had anything that I would say, oh, I'll never eat that again. It's been, though, a journey for me because I was so used to running through a drive-thru, going, you know, making that stop at the grocery store and buying stuff you can make in 20 minutes or less.
I totally get that because, I mean, I think I blame my generation or our generation about that because I wanted to have my kid. I had three kids and I went through sometimes three drive-thrus to make sure what they had what they wanted. Because it was easier because they had games here and sports there and so on. It was just really hard to try to do a nutritious meal. We did those on the weekends. But I mean, it was just evident to me about how I was treating myself through my wonderful job that I had to do something different. And, you know, now that you mentioned, you know, how good you feel, I mean, red meat has always been something that bothers me. But when I went to grass-fed beef, it's significantly easier for me to digest. And I've also noticed too, that through eating, starting with good ingredients, that I feel satiated faster. So I'm not as hungry. I don't feel like I have to stuff myself in order to feel like I'm fulfilled.
Well, I went to a party last weekend and she served, and she was very big about telling us it was organic chili and it was the grass-fed beef. It was all of us. We're like, this is the best chili ever. And she's like, oh, yeah. She's like, she told me she won an award at her church because she had brought it. And I'm like, I need this recipe. It was so, and you just think chili, okay, everybody has chili. You get chili everywhere. Da, da, da. To shame. I mean, it was seriously, I was like, wow, this is really,
amazing. I love
really,
those stories.
Really well done. And my neighbor is like, she said, she's trying to think more organic for herself and for her husband. And because they're getting older and it's time now, although it should have been time we all said 20 years ago, but who knew? You know, I mean, again, you were, like you said, our generation was processed about fast, quick, you know, what kid has to get to where, at what time, okay, who's doing that? The splitting up of you take him, I'll take her,
exactly,
kind of thing and that life. But can you, Jennifer, would you please give us an example of an easy organic meal, something easy, something that's not going to, and I'll tell you the thing that helped me when I had the kids when they were young and little is I did a calendar and I did a weekly calendar and each kid got to pick a meal that they wanted on that day. And so that when I did grocery shopping for the week, okay, I knew what I was buying. So, but if you can give us something, tips on something easy.
So for me, because I am busy and I cook all the time. And so when I come home, that's sometimes the last thing I want to do.
Yeah.
Is I look in the refrigerator and for something that's easy. And if I did not do meal prep on the weekends, then I would guarantee that popcorn will be that easy thing, right? It's air popped. It's all organic, but it'll be popcorn, which is not necessarily a great choice, right? So I will take and prepare all my protein and my starches on one day and typically about 90 minutes and then put them in the refrigerator to be able to pick from and then mix and match. And then I add fresh vegetables to them. So typically I take like fishes and chickens and maybe I'll make meatballs or something like that. And I'll put them all in the oven at the same time. So it takes me about 20, 30 minutes to prep, 20 minutes to cook. And then I'll throw in potatoes or, you know, I'll make quinoa. But I mean, quinoa is like the easiest thing. And it is so full of nutrition for you. It has good fiber in it. It has nice vitamins. It's easy to do. And whether you're vegan or not, you can add bone broth to it
like
just plain water.
Right.
Just add bone broth to it. It has much more nutrition in it. And then, and it tastes better than water. Or vegetable broth, you can use organic, better than bouillon vegetable broth and you put that in there too. And then you have it ready to go. You can put your fresh vegetables in it while you're heating it up and
voila.
Voila. Yeah.
Wow.
Easy. Another thing I want to add is there's a lot of misnomers about eating organic as well. And people say, oh my gosh, it costs too much. And one thing that I always talk about is there's the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. Yep. Mm-hmm. So you can look those up online. And if you can't afford to eat your whole diet organic, you can at least start with the Dirty Dozen, which is your berries and anything that's very, has a lot of pesticides on it.
And Environmental Working switch. Group has the new list coming out here pretty soon. And another tip for people that I teach at a New Leaf, I teach healthy cooking on a budget once a month to the residents. Also, you can go to the farmers markets and maybe you won't get the best selection, but at the end of the day, the farmers don't want to take that stuff back. So they'll make you deals in order to not be able to take it back.
Oh, we just learned something, Karen. That's look at us.
They're probably all listening to me going, oh, I can't believe you did that. But it's true. I mean, they will absolutely, because they don't want to take it back, because they most of the time have to tend it to the landfill because it's already been picked.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, so to say on the farmer's market, so I love the one on Central. Is it Central and Bethany?
Yes, at Uptown the Market. It's my favorite,
So it's one of the best. And so one of the organizations that I support, CCAP, which is the Careers Through Culinary Arts. And what I want to share is that any vegetable or item that you purchase at that market, at that farmer's market, if you take it to the CCAP table, they will cut it, chop it, dice it, whatever
Absolutely,
you want to
true,
it
yep.
at no charge. Mm-hmm. All they ask is that if you want to make a donation, you can. You don't have to. I mean, but I'll tell you the best thing I ever do. I take my zucchini, take it julienne. Yeah. I get my shredded carrots. I dice my squash. And these are students that are preparing to be chefs.
Love it.
So mm-hmm. you just go drop it off, continue shopping. They'll tell you, come back in 45 minutes, come back an hour. You come in, it's all its own bags. It is the easiest thing I have found to make me be organic because now I've got all this cut up
fruit.
You don't
have to do the prep.
I don't have to cut up fruit. I've got cut
Saved
up vegetables. I've got everything. And I'm like, oh, yes.
For a donation. Yeah,
right.
It's awesome.
And the time that it saved me from not hacking at my fingers, not having the patience to stab that squash. No, because squash is tough. I'm sorry, but that is I've tried to cut acorn squash. I've tried to cut butternut squash and the spaghetti squash and all. Okay. Like, yeah. So, yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
And to have chefs, students who are preparing to have a career in food. I love that.
Yeah,
What days are the Uptown Market?
Saturday.
They do it Saturday all year long, but in the wintertime, they do it Wednesday and Saturday.
Oh, that's
it's
great.
In the summertime, they don't do the Wednesdays.
Yeah.
I'm East Valley, so I typically go to the Gilbert Farmers Market, but
okay,
which is my third
to
favorite.
Shame. Yeah, it was good. The first one is the
good.
One we said. That's the big one.
Yep.
Gilbert, I would say number three. What's your number two?
It is Phoenix Public.
Oh, Phoenix Public. Mm. Okay,
and where's that one?
It's on Fillmore and
in
Central.
Central.
Okay. Wow, great.
Yeah, the other
and
one
actually,
is Central.
The restaurant, you go there. We go there to have like breakfast or brunch right after the market, too. It's fantastic.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, but it's a whole new world. And I know that Dory has highlighted some of those in previous Green Living magazines, some of the markets that offer so many different things. And if you've never gone, because I know some people have never experienced, like I'll tell people, what do you mean you've never gone to a farmer's market? Those are the best things ever.
Yeah, so I'm much
like,
fun.
Yeah.
And usually the farmers are there and they want to talk about how great their food is and they'll give you recipes and you spend some time
sampling
with them. You know
too.
How they
oh,
do sampling.
Absolutely. That honey, just line me up. Oh my gosh. I get so, and everything there though is so fresh. And so
it was just picked that morning generally.
Yeah. I mean, it's so, and it's a whole different food experience when you eat that. Like I said, I was expecting when we went organic to go green. I don't know. The other myth too, Karen, I always get is that it's bland.
Mm-hmm.
Your food has no
diet,
flavor.
Yeah, it's no flavor, which it has a ton more flavor.
Oh my
because
gosh. More flavor, I'd imagine.
From the time that you pick something to the time you eat it, it loses nutrition. So when you get picked in the morning and you can eat it that day, that is the highest nutrition that you can get off of an organic farm. And you think about how food shows up in your grocery store, it still focuses on the transportation company to be able to fill a truck to get it to your store. So if it could sit there, it's sprayed so that it can sit there 2 or 3 weeks. And
yeah,
you
and
usually ended up with less than 50%
nutrition.
When you
hear the word sprayed,
that should be alarming.
Yeah, that should be the thing that just...
To make it look pretty.
Dory, I'm looking at the Green Living magazine, and can you give us a little visual walkthrough since people don't get to have the advantage that I do to take a look at it? But what are some of the favorite things about the magazine, the layout or the people? What do you love?
Well, the magazine is set up in three areas and how you live, work, and play. And people think that, you know, oh, you're only talking about one topic, but it's extremely broad. So anything that has to do with your lifestyle and meditation and yoga and healthy eating will be in your live section. Work has anything to do with reducing waste or leadership or architecture, anything like that. And then play is a lot of products and then eco travel and cool and outrageous stuff. And we have a bunch of house articles, recipes, the products, which people really like. And we have green champions. So there's our thought leaders that are doing amazing things throughout the state. The magazine is actually statewide. So we distribute in metropolitan Maricopa County, Phoenix area, but also Tucson and Northern Arizona, Prescott as well. So we like to feature in our green scenes events going on all over the state.
And if somebody were out of state, they can have a subscription sent to them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They can subscribe to the digital magazine, the print magazine as well. And then we also have a Greenie membership where you could be a print or digital subscriber. Then you get a t-shirt and then you get invited to all of our eco events as well for $49 annually.
Wow.
It is one of the very few things that I read cover to cover.
Yes, I was going to say, so do I.
I feel embarrassed. I've got to get my subscription. And tell me the name of the subscription you just mentioned, the membership one. What is
it? It's called Being a Greenie Member.
Greenie.
Cute.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And $49.
That's $49. Reasonable. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the eco events now, which are so informative. And I love take place at all different parts of the valley. And that's what I really find so refreshing is that it's not just about one concentrated area, which I think, like Dory, you explained, if you're going to be a eco everywhere. But just being, you know, at Isagenics a couple months ago and being in that building and seeing all the work they're doing and the upcoming events you have as well, the fabric.
Yeah, our last event was in February and it was at Fabric, which is in Tempe. And they collaborate with ASU and the city of Tempe, and they've got a 23,000 square foot building, and they work with fashion designers and makeup artists and photographers and audio people as well. And then they also work with an organization with autism. So they're taking, with their partnership with ASU, they're actually taking the banners that would have gone into a landfill and they taught them how to sew. So they actually make backpacks and tote bags they sell them in the ASU bookstore.
Yes.
They have a t-shirt maker who uses all renewable fabric and then that you can buy in the t-shirts as well.
Brilliant.
And then they're also making a hub for fashion designers. So we are making the fabric here and clothing in Tempe so we don't have to go overseas.
Yeah.
So if you get a chance, definitely check out Fabric.
Absolutely.
And that's just being a
greenie. And Jennifer cooks there too.
I'm a caterer there, yeah.
Ah. And being a greenie, you get to go to all those eco events. So that's one of the benefits of just seeing too that these are in our community and that we're doing. I mean, I know that, you know, when you have a university like ASU, not only being the largest public university in the nation, but being number one in innovation is just another example of this fabric and that partnership of what Dr. Crow and his team are creating and continue to create. I mean, I know that even the College of, Sustainable?
The Global, there's the School of Sustainability, and then there's also the Global Institute of Sustainability as well.
Yeah, and just what they're doing, not only just for Arizona, but around the world.
Exactly, yeah.
And they've got a partnership with the Waltons.
Right.
The Walton Sustainable Solutions Initiative, and they're doing a lot of global work as well. They put on a sustainability festival the month of February, and Green Biz just came to town, and all your largest corporate, Microsoft, Google, you name it, we're all here in town for 4 days on learning how to see a net zero waste and event and how we can be more innovative and make a difference in terms of sustainability and being green as
Dory,
well.
How does Arizona rank? Maybe that's a layered question, but how do we rank or rate when it comes to green living and eco-friendly and sustainability, just everything
I think it varies from what report you're looking at. So,
and probably industry or in like even the way you broke up the magazine. Are we talking about architecture? Are we talking about food and wellness? Are we okay?
So I would say that we rank pretty much in the middle, depending on what it is. But we do have a lot of LEED certified buildings through the USGBC
and City of Chandler, Karen.
Yes.
Our municipality.
Hooray.
Yep. Yes. Leading the thing. Yep.
Yeah. Good to hear.
I think it's fantastic the amount that Arizona is investing in figuring out how to be more green.
And the City of Phoenix as well.
Yeah, with Phoenix, we can always look to City of Phoenix with, I think, gratitude and appreciation for being a forward thinking when it really should be something that we've thought of years ago. But I love that City of Phoenix is constantly in the front with this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And City of Scottsdale has the first green building council as well that's head by Anthony Floyd.
Huh. Those bikes now.
Mm-hmm.
All in the city and in Scottsdale
they're
and in Phoenix now. And
they have them all over. There's some disagreement about where they park them at the end of the day. But
that's the most recent thing I saw is if they can
get a
handle.
If that's the biggest challenge,
I know,
we'll
right?
be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
If we're
Agreed.
Making people healthier, if we're doing more, if we're being outside more. I mean, the one gift we have in Arizona, obviously, is sun. And which around the country, other places don't have as much sun. Are solar panels, I hate to ask this, still a big thing? Or is it a thing of the past? Or is there something new coming out? Do we know?
People are definitely still putting solar on their homes, for sure.
Wow.
I think it's not going away.
Yeah, it's not going away, but I think the bonuses are not there to incentivize as much. Because I think that everybody thought that, oh, Arizona's full of sun, but I think they didn't think about the hard brick and mortar investments that the power companies already had in place and other things.
Oh, okay.
So I think there's a little.
Okay. Well, we'll have to work through that one,
yeah.
Which we always do. But I do see that a lot of the, some of the self-drivable cars are eco. From what I understand, I just went to an event.
Autonomous vehicles, definitely.
Yes. So some of them. So that's kind of cool to see those. And I know they're mostly in the East Valley. So lucky for us,
we
Karen.
See them right in our area all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And downtown Tempe, where we are here.
Yeah.
I can
see
that's
a
the
lot.
Uber.
Yeah. And then, Dory, too, you feature a lot of great green, what I'll call green people in the magazine. How would one go about giving you like, hey, I've got a green neighbor. I know a few years ago, I shared with you a former coworker that we called him Mr. Green. And still to this day, I mean, from having chickens in the backyard to his compost, to his rain barrel, to his solar panels,
to his pool,
to build an orchard, to driving his Prius, I'm not kidding you. We called him Mr. Green.
Yeah.
That was like an understatement. Like he was capital G. Capital yeah. But how would one, you know, identify to you or how would one go about sending you information like, hey, my mom's green or my dad's green or you've got to meet this green neighbor of mine?
They're welcome to reach out to me on social media and also through email, which is editor@greenlivingaz.com, or they can reach out personally to me, which is Dory@greenlivingaz.com. But we'd love to hear their thoughts, their stories, their feedback, anything we can do. We'd love to hear from our readers.
And same to make a suggestion for the eco events, they can just reach out the same way.
Definitely. Yeah. If they think of a great venue, and that's kind of what happened with Fabric. A friend of mine told me, have you heard of Fabric? And I had heard about it a little bit from Jennifer. I hadn't been there. We did a tour and I was ready.
It's a beautiful place. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Neat.
It's the old Tempe Arts Building. You know, when the new Tempe Arts Building was built on Rio Salado, they took over that one and they've repurposed it fantastic. They help a lot of up and coming fashion designers.
Well, Tempe, I think too, so many of our cities are progressive to look at things in a different way. How do we reuse this? How do we do it better than we've done it in the past? I always used to have, and it's still true today, but the joke about how well-run the East Valley is, because when you have Chandler, Gilbert, Mesa, and Tempe, all four chambers of commerce are run by women.
Oh.
And so I always say, oh, so it had the magic touch. And I love it.
This is ladies' leadership. Yeah.
Yep. So, but, and for a number of years, it's been like that. But I think, you know, the partnerships, the collaboration, you know, maybe not so much an ego, should I say, at times, at sometimes, but a lot of great things too in Phoenix. I mean, Keep Phoenix Beautiful. I've been a strong supporter of that organization for years. And unfortunately, one of the great things that we had, one of the first things that we had was that Central and Indian School. It was a unused land that the city did an agreement to let nonprofits start doing gardens. And I know that, what was it? Is it International Rescue Mission, IRC? Yep. Mm-hmm. And so many others had their gardens there. And then there is even a green doggy run that PetSmart put in. And then we had the, I want to say, eco-friendly home that APS put there.
It was a little solar.
Yeah. So a little solar home. But so back in November, God, this had to be 5 years ago now. Yeah, 5 years ago, we CCAP, we did the first Harvest Moon dinner.
Oh, very nice.
At that site. It was called Phoenix Renews. That was the name of the site.
I do remember that. Mm-hmm.
Phoenix
Renews
site. Well, let me tell you, we were the first nonprofit to put an event on there. It's really hard when you have no running water and no electricity.
Oh, yeah. That would be an issue. Yeah,
that was a little tough, but it was a 3-course meal and it was very good. But we knew that going in. So we knew what we had to bring in and the trucks and everything. But, you know, just highlighting that site for the city and, you know, the mayor attended and we honored Larry Fitzgerald that year. And, you know, he was only going to come. His schedule only permitted for him to come the first hour, and he actually stayed the entire event because we highlighted the 30 schools from around the state to participate and make an appetizer for the event. So you got to eat all these different appetizers. And again, we went with
That's
the premise
fantastic.
Of everything made by those 30 schools was from plants or things from that site.
Awesome.
So everything had to be picked from that garden or made from that area. So it was really just kind of, you know, getting the word out there, an amazing meal. I can tell you, just wonderful. But those kind of things that make you be eco-friendly kind of thing, it's eco-fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
like
eco-fun.
You
I love it, Joanne.
You can have fun with eco-friendly. You can, absolutely.
Yeah. Eco-fun.
I
That's
love
my
it.
New word.
Yep. Coin here on Ladies Leadership Circle. Thank you, Joanne Holland.
Eco-fun, eco-food, and eco-friendly.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Dory, you talked about distribution. Now I'm thinking like gift giving. So Joanne was just speaking about schools. Do you find that our public schools, let's start there, are doing what they can to be sustainable and eco-friendly? I mean, that's, again, pretty broad question, but what kind of connections do you have or what do you hear from the school districts?
The school districts are definitely getting very involved community colleges, high schools, grade schools, charter schools. So we've had a lot of schools that want to collaborate with us, and I'm going to be looking at working with a lot more school districts as well.
Ooh,
we have
an
idea in downtown Phoenix. They have a bioscience school. They have a high school bioscience school that people go in there. That's all eco-friendly. Yeah,
That's great. And partnerships with nonprofits that you work with. I know you mentioned how you teach at a New Leaf, wonderful organization.
Absolutely.
You know, families changing lives, helping families is their mission. And what would a course include if you were teaching that class?
So we teach the class. We teach them how to, we always do a try it Tuesday. So we get them to try something they've never, ever seen or tasted before.
Great.
So we do that. And then, which I do a video on, and we post it on social media. And then we do everything from, we teach them to do an appetizer, a salad, the main courses, and desserts. And we have kids from ages 6 and all the way through older adults that attend the course. We've had as many as 33 people in the class before.
Wow.
Yeah, but we have tons of fun. I try to post the videos and so on social media when we're done with the class, but it's a ton of fun. And we do something different every month. The group decides what they want to have for the following month. And then we put it together and we just have a ton of fun. And I hope that teaching the kids through teaching the kids that they can have fun cooking and helping mm-hmm. their parents and so on, and as well as learn some of the nutritious aspects of eating good, right. good, wholesome food. And then I also know that every month they get a good, solid, all organic meal.
Oh, very good. That's great. So I have to tell you a quick story. So, you know, again, trying to get healthy or whatever. So I thought, okay, I'm going to like make a sneak meal in my home. And it worked. So I got cauliflower and I made it mashed potatoes.
Oh, nice. Mm.
I've heard it's but delicious. It's,
yeah, it was. I mean, at first I could tell. It was just my husband and I. At first I could tell, like, he took a bite, like, well, this is different. And then I said, oh, isn't it really good? And he goes, and you know, because when you lean, oh, isn't it really good? I think it's so good or whatever. And he's like, yeah, it really is good or whatever. And then I didn't say it to like the next day. Remember yesterday when you thought the potatoes tasted a little odd? I go, it was color. And he's like, no way. And I go, yeah. And it was just pulverizing it again, getting the things you already have at mm-hmm, home. Yeah. So I had the food processor. So, you know, thing. And then I kept it purposely. I kept a little lumps in. So it really made me like he would think right, those right. are really my mashed
potatoes. Oh my gosh. That's incredible, Joanne.
Very good.
You know, like you got to fake them out or whatever. Because if you just say, because I know we're going to have an eco-friendly meal. You know, it's like what? You know, I mean, yeah.
You already
like,
come with that perceived idea.
So right.
When I did a wine and food pairing class for a community in Southeast Mesa. And there was 26 people there. And I said, I'm not going to, they go, well, what does the bottle say? I said, I'm not going to tell you what the bottle says. I want you to tell me what you smell in it. Because once somebody says you smell kiwi, you're going to smell kiwi.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So your mind is very powerful and it can put all kinds of impressions in you before you even try something.
Yes. And you're right. Because I faked them out again in the future mm-hmm. and I actually have this recipe, which is amazing. It is, well, chocolate mousse, but there's nothing chocolate mousse about it. I made it with avocado.
Avocado mm-hmm. is yeah. the and most put the
cocoa, right. And put cocoa in and again, stir it. And then you got to make it cold. So it sets.
Exactly.
And flavor. And it was
two of my favorite things.
Yeah. And it, you couldn't, I mean, if you were used to eating the process, blah.
Yep.
I was going to say mousse, then you did notice. But if you were used to eating very, you couldn't tell. I mean, you knew it was a different texture at some points when you're taking the bite. But I learned as long as it's chilled long enough, I'm good. I can fake them out.
Yep. 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 Yeah. I make a green whip for St. Patrick's Day. I use avocado and coconut whip, and I use mint instead of using, I use chopped up minced mint as opposed to using creme de menthe or any kind of flavor. And it looks fantastic and it tastes perfect.
So
it's avocado.
Yes. And one of my favorite things too in a drink, and I'll say a cocktail, is another one I do is I, especially in the summer, is I pulverize and make watermelon mm-hmm. completely water. And then I put it in my ice.
Oh, nice trays. Oh, yeah.
And then freeze it. And then oh, it's so good in a cocktail.
So watermelon ice cube?
Yeah. Yeah. A watermelon ice cube.
Sounds
it's
tasty.
So good.
Really good.
Sound
good.
And
yeah.
then the other ice cubes to use, of course, this is all Tito's focused.
I was curious. Specific?
Yes, it was Tito's. But the other thing too is the olive juice from the olive jars.
Uh-huh.
I put in ice trays.
Oh.
And I create ice cubes out of those.
Dory's getting all wide eyed.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But Dory that's does a new one.
Yeah. Dory yeah. does like that.
And then I like olives.
Yeah. yeah. And the olive water is so good in Tito's. And, and I mean, it's a whole different flavor. And then the other water I've done before, and I haven't figured out how to pulverize them yet, but you know how you put celery in the water so mm-hmm. it stays crispy and cold or whatever? So as I take all that out, I use that celery water and I'll make it ice.
Ah.
And I'll put it in the fridge, you know, freeze it. So it's ice cubes. Tito's Bloody Mary.
Ah.
Listen to you.
Now we know, know the secret to her heart.
No. And no. And you put, but here's the whole thing. You put the ice cube of your olive and the ice cube of the celery water and that Bloody Mary.
We do, nice. We have a, two citrus trees, grapefruit and orange, although this particular season, they were not very plentiful. But we typically, when we have the extra grapefruits and even lemons from a neighbor, We'll do the same thing. I'll make sure that I juice them and freeze them. And then all year long, we can do that with iced tea. And I'm sure there's plenty of cocktail beverages we can include that in. Yeah.
But yeah, just love it. I mean, you just don't throw stuff away. Like, you can figure out, how do I use this? Or how do I, what could be, you know?
And then even so with the rind too, because you can shred up the rind from the lemon and the orange.
Oh, right. And do everything with it.
And Jennifer, you mentioned composting. So I had this idea that I was going to start composting, and I had my husband bring home this big barrel to kind of begin, and there it sits empty on the side yard.
But it's a good thought.
Well, it was, but I would still like to make that commitment. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience with composting?
So when I had my house in Gilbert, I had a barrel and we composted. Now I use Recycle City because I live in a condo. So they're a little against
this. Who are
they? I'm sorry?
Recycle
City, they're a composter. So they're one of the composters that are here. So I pay them, what, $70 a month, and they pick up every week. And then at the end of 6 months, you get your option to pick up your dirt.
What? They do it for you?
Yes, they do it all for you.
There's Karen signing up.
I know.
And the other thing that's great too is they take the compost and they use it in gardens in South Phoenix to help feed the homeless.
Exactly. So
they also do food boxes. CSA boxes, which I'm not sure are you both aware of, community-supported agriculture. So if you can't make it to a farmer's market, you can actually sign up for a CSA program, and you could have your produce delivered to your home. And you don't know what you're going to get, and you can actually become like a CSA host. And you can, if you want to get your neighbors involved, and then you can get your CSA box for free.
Exactly.
So it's wonderful. Yeah. And it's normally like $15 or $20 a week, but you get this amazing, great vegetables, and you get to all these different vegetables that you may have not cooked with before.
And then they have a lot of microgreens too, which are fantastic.
And share with your neighbors. Yeah. So then it kind of creates a community with your neighbors as well.
Oh my goodness.
Well, and so many amazing farms. I mean, obviously that's what our, you know, this community was originally way back when. And I know with Cancer Treatment Centers of America having their own farm out there, that if you eat in their cafeteria, everything in there
comes from their farm.
From their farm. And then even last year, a few times at a couple of the events I went to, and I think it'll be the same this year for the Crozier Gala for the for Catholic Community Foundation. All of our salads and everything on the salad was provided by CTCA's farm.
That's fantastic. There's urban farms are a huge thing in Arizona. I mean, the fact that people are building raised beds in the backyard. I have a tower garden on my balcony, as well as I have potted plants that have my herbs and mints and onions and things like that in it. But I mean, urban farms, I mean, Agritopia was just built out in, East Mesa, in order to, you know, it's all about urban farming. Fountain Hills has a nice urban farm where you can rent a row and you can farm it yourself. I mean, it's just it's a ton of
How
fun
cool
to be
that?
Able to. And you talk about
stress
relief.
I could say I was a farmer.
Exactly. Right?
There's a community in Mesa that you could actually have your own organic plot as well. That you're living in a green apartment community.
Exactly.
That is so cool.
So there's so many things
that
are going
on. Yeah, and Honor Health has their every Friday that their patients or families or whatever go in and pick up all their fruits and vegetables, and everything's organic. So there's so many things.
And there's even indoor growing urban city farms where they grow microgreens by LED lights too.
Yep. They take tractor trailers.
I was just going to say, I've heard that. Right.
Yep. And then, you know, I work with Troy and True Garden too, over in East Mesa on Recurrent University, and he has the largest vertical farm. Yeah, industrial vertical farm in Arizona.
Troy and True?
True Garden.
Sorry, True Garden.
Yep.
Interesting.
And then I have an aquaponic system in my home, so I grow everything aquaponically as well.
Okay, you got to tell people what that is.
So basically...
You're not jumping around dancing at night.
It's a fish tank. And then you have tilapia or goldfish, and you have to keep the water right. But then there's wicking beds, and you can actually grow your own produce through the fish waste.
Yep. Friends of mine do that. Mary and Kat Cohen, I don't know if you know them, but they're big
into
that.
See, they could maybe be great.
I know. I was thinking, I'm making a list as we're chatting. I told the girls I would be writing down keywords. I'm thinking of introductions and ideas to share with you afterwards. This is fantastic. You know, part of what I'm hearing is, like with anything, when we want to make a shift in our lifestyle, we just have to give it some dedicated attention, right? It takes a little bit of thought and time prepping on over the weekends and being mindful of recycling and whatever it is that we're doing. But we have to just start somewhere, right? I mean, my thought around even just the compost, like that, I can't tell you how long that barrel's been sitting in the backyard. And now I have an alternative, which I'd love to hear. But when we're making a shift in our lifestyle, whether it's eating habits, green living, you know, being eco-friendly and all those that really we ought to be bringing together anyway, you've given me a lot of great ideas and it's not complicated.
No, it's the simple solution.
It is easy. Yeah. It is very easy. Yeah.
And choose solution. One thing, choose composting. And then maybe next month choose, okay, I'm going to give up plastic or, you know, at least plastic bags. I'll bring in my own grocery bags.
And cleaning Start supplies. Small. Yep. Cleaning supplies. The next time I get ready to, in fact, I know I have to purchase a couple of things. Why not just go with vinegar? I love using vinegar, although no one in the house likes the smell of it. But
so just take and put fresh mint in it, and then it won't smell like vinegar.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, that's it.
Or basil.
Any type of
those
spices.
I love both those smells. That's brilliant, and it will take the smell away.
It takes the smell away. Yep, it takes the bitter away.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing. I know we just have a few minutes left, so I want to ask you for a story. Is there anything you'd like to share that maybe we haven't covered? I do want to reiterate too, your eco events on a monthly basis. People need to come out. So much great information, so much great food, so much great connections and networking and learning. Anything else you'd like to share today?
So definitely where to pick up the magazine. We're in Fry's, we're in Whole Foods. We have 675 locations throughout the Valley and Northern and Southern Arizona. But any restaurant that has vegan or organic or local coffee shops, restaurants, doctor's offices, naturopathic offices, you could definitely email me if you want to know where to pick up a magazine in the area. I would highly recommend connecting with us on social media. Green Living AZ is our Facebook page, and then checking out our website, greenlivingaz.com. And
if you want to advertise too?
Yeah. If you want to advertise, if you have any, if you have article ideas, please email editor@greenliving or dory@greenlivingaz.com if you want to create a partnership or a collaboration or advertise with us, because it's about a partnership. It's not like, oh, I'm just going to advertise in this magazine. It's how can we work together and really partner.
Love that.
And I'll go into corporations, teach their employees how to be more sustainable. And I've been doing a lot of that. So it's more like a partnership as opposed to I just purchased an ad in the magazine.
Yes, you are amazing at that too. She's amazing at that. And Jennifer, that you want to add?
Just if you're looking, we do education as well as catering. We also, if you're too busy to cook, we do food boxes for people too. So we'll prepare all your meals for you for the week and deliver them to your house. It's a great way to bring in community. I love going to Dory's events too, because, you know, sometimes you go home busy and you don't want to go out, but once a month, go out and find friends that are in the eco community, right? It's about building a community. I think that a lot of times we had decided we wanted to not talk to anybody. But I think that now, you know, I think that building that community and knowing who your friends are and where you can collaborate, that's probably the best use of any of our times versus watching television or something, right?
So absolutely. Jennifer, where could we get your wonderful food boxes? How could we connect with you? Because I will say that I love her food and it's very delicious.
Mm-hmm. When I first met Jennifer, it was at a Foxy Women and Wine event. And I remember you had a couple of clients there and they raved about the meal prep.
Nice. Yes. So you can reach me at jennifer@witnessingnature.net or my website, witnessingnature.net. We just launched some of our new menus and stuff. So they're just, they're up there, as well as all of our meal prep stuff is on our website now. And if you sign up for a dedicated period of time, either 60 days or 90 days, then you get a discount and some free things, like somebody to come to their house and cook for them or do a little family party. Get some cooking classes in there.
I like people cooking for me as well.
Yeah. Well, Karen, yeah. I think it's time. Is that sad? We could go on all day.
We could. And of course, you're both welcome back anytime. I know that there's plenty of things that we can connect with and talk about and continue to help inform and educate people, myself included, on sustainable living and living green.
Yes. And thank you for listening to Ladies Leadership Circle in partnership with Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, as we hope today's show connected, inspired, and lead you to continue to be and do your best. Thank you, Karen Nowicki, and I'm Joanne Holland. Make it a great day.